This is our second lesson on purpose. In our first lesson, we explained the meaning and the importance of purpose. We said that if God made us, He had to make us for a purpose. You came to my garage and I was building something, and you said, "What are you building?" And I said, "I don't know." And you said, "What are you going to use it for?" And I said, "I don't know." You'd think that I was not all there. Now, an intelligent person never does anything without a specific reason. And when God built His master creation, man, in His own image, God did it for a specific reason. The New Testament begins with God saving man. When you save something, you always save it for a purpose. You save it that it might do something. And God saved man for a purpose. Now, what we want to discuss today is about how to determine your purpose, how to determine your goal in life. Now, in order to do this, we're going to have to be very, very honest. Most religious people know the right answers and are not willing to give them. But the test that I'm going to give you in just a few minutes that will help you determine your purpose and goal in life, if you'll just be honest, you don't have to show it to anybody at all. Now, I'd like you to use the little workbook that comes along with this program. And if you don't happen to have one, get a pencil and a piece of paper out, and we're going to answer some questions today that I'm going to ask you. So let's get the pencil and the piece of paper out, and let's go to the board and look at some of the questions that we've got here. Now, here are six pairs of words. Now, what I'd like you to do is this. I would like you to determine which one of the word in each pair characterizes your life basically. In other words, which one would be more true of your life as a whole? Now, I'm going to go over these with you and briefly describe them to you so that you can give answer to these questions as we go over them. Now, let's take the first pair. Would you say that boredom or excitement characterizes your life basically? Now, what I'd like you to do is to circle the one that characterizes your life basically. If that's the one that characterizes your life basically, circle it. Now, let's go to the second pair. The second pair are diligence and laziness. Circle the one that characterizes your life as a whole. Diligence or laziness. Then go to the third one. The third one is emptiness and fullness. Would you say that your inner feeling is one of fullness or one of emptiness? Which one characterizes your life the most, emptiness or fullness? Circle one of them. If emptiness is the one, circle it. Then we come to the fourth one, vacillation or decisiveness. Vacillation means that you're always going between two opinions. It's very hard for you to make a decision. Decisiveness means that you can make decisions and you make to them and hold them. Vacillation means that sometimes even after you make a decision, you worry about making the right decision and whether you have made the right decision. Which one of these two characterizes you the most? If it's true of vacillation, circle it. Then look at the next pair. You give up easily or you endure. Do you find it easy to give up? Do you do something for a little while and give up because you run into some rough spots or difficulties? Or do you find endurance a basic characteristic in your life? Or which one would characterize your life the most? Giving up easily or endurance? Then look at this next pair. Fear or courage? Which one really dominates your life the most? Fear? Are you fearful a lot of times, or do you find it easy to be brave? Which one of the two? Now, I know in all of these, there'll be times when both of them will be present. Many times, excitement will be there, but boredom will predominate. And I'm seeking you to be honest about which one of these predominates in your life. Now let me ask you about a few more. Write down the next two words. Order or confusion. Order or confusion. Which one would characterize your life the most? Order or confusion? Do you live an orderly life? Or are you sort of confused about what you're going to do next? Are your closets at home orderly or confused? Which one characterizes your life the most? Then let me give you another pair. Meaningfulness and meaninglessness. Meaningfulness and meaninglessness. In other words, life has a lot of meaning for you, and predominantly speaking, your life is full of meaning. Or predominantly, your life is full of meaninglessness. You find yourself doing your chores around the house or going to work, and it's just a meaningless activity. The only reason you're doing it is because you have to have the money or you have the responsibility. Okay? Another pair. Bondage or freedom? Bondage or freedom? Do you feel bound, inhibited? Do you feel like you're caught in a trap, caught in a cage, caught in a rut? Or do you feel like you're free? Which one would predominate in your life? Then, the next pair. Doubt and faith. Doubt and faith. Do you have a lot of doubt? Are you always wondering whether things are right or wrong, whether you're doing right or wrong, whether you're going right or wrong, whether you made the right decision? Or do you find the security and assurance that comes in real faith? Circle each one now. We are going to have 11 of these, and you should have 11 of them circled, whichever one predominates in your life. And then the last one, consistency or inconsistency. Do you find yourself basically a consistent person, or do you find yourself very inconsistent, up and down, left and right, happy and unhappy? Which one of these two would basically characterize your life? Now you should have 11 of one of these pairs circled. 11, there are 11 pairs, and you should have one circled in each pair. Now, I'd like to ask you four more questions, and if you'll write these questions out, then we'll be able to get an answer to them. Question number one. Your greatest fear. Your greatest fear. The thing you worry about the most. Greatest worry or fear. If you have two or three running dead heat, just pick one of them out. Pick one of them out. Question number two. What is your goal in life? As you understand it right now, what is your major goal, let's put it? This will give those of you that have two or three a chance, your major goal in life. Okay? The third question. What is your greatest love? What is your greatest enjoyment? Let me put it this way. Enjoyment would be a better word, because I think this will more characterize the thing that I'm trying to get at. What do you enjoy doing more than anything else in the world? Okay, question number four. I'm going to say just one word, and I want you to write down the first impression that comes to you after I say this one word. Okay? God. Write down What came to you after I said God? Write it out right like that. Now, what I would like to be able to help you do now is to evaluate the answers to these questions. And I'm going to rub these off the board here, and we're going to evaluate the answers to these questions. And I want, first of all, to talk about the single-purposed person. The person that has one purpose and knows what it is. Now, there's some things that are going to characterize the person who has a single purpose in life. And let me list some of these, and you can determine whether you are one of these people or not. A person with a single purpose is usually a diligent person. They're a very decisive person. They find making decisions very, very easy. They have a lot of order in their life. You see, they know what they're doing. They know where they're going, and as a result of this, their life is full of order. There's a lot of consistency. They're very consistent people. They're consistent for the simple reason that they're always headed in the same direction. A person with a single purpose usually has a lot of endurance. They only have one thing that they're going to do with their life, and so they are enduring in that direction. They are going in that direction. They have a lot of freedom. These people, instead of being narrow people, are really free people. There's a lot of freedom in their life. They find faith easy, for they have one object. They only have one object that they're trying to accomplish, and they're able to have a lot of faith. And you can begin to see, I've given 6, 7, and there are some of the others that are true about a single purposed person. Now, I want to talk to you next about the person with 2 or more purposes and some of the things that mark their life. Okay, number 2. The dual-purposed person, or more, dual or more purposed person. There are many, many people like this. They have never really decided what they want. The children of Israel were like this one time, and Joshua said, "Why do you halt between 2 opinions? Choose you whom you're going to serve." He's saying, you folks are double-minded. In the New Testament in James, it says this, that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So, some of the characteristics of a double-purposed person are these. Number 1, confusion. Let me tell you a story. When I was a young pastor, an old lady took me for a ride one day. Her driving was very, very bad. She wore a black patch over one eye. And I kept asking her why she wore this black patch over one eye. And she said this, "If I don't, I see 2 of everything, and I'm never sure which one is the real one." Now, I'm glad her driving was terrible without looking through 2 of everything. But she had enough sense to black out 1. She saw that if she saw two of everything, she'd never be sure which was the real one, and she'd be confused. Many people are confused. People come to church and say, I don't understand. They're confused because they're seeing two of everything. They are double-minded in all of their ways. Okay, another one. Another characteristic is vacillation. In churches, these people are always rededicating their lives. Every revival, they rededicate their lives. Now, why do they need to do this? Why do they need to recommit their lives? Now, this doesn't mean that if you don't rededicate your life all the time, it doesn't mean that you have a dual purpose. This is just one of the characteristics of it. It's because they go from one goal to another goal, from one purpose to another purpose, and then they recommit themselves and they go to the other purpose. There's a lot of vacillation in their lives. One day they're hot, the next day they're cold about the things of God. They read their Bible for a month and don't read it for a month. They share for a month and then don't share anymore. They're back and forth and in and out. Not only do they vacillate a lot, they're very indecisive. Many, many times they don't know what to do. And inside they have a very, very hard time making decisions. Another thing that would characterize them would be doubt. You see, if you're going in two directions all the time, this is almost subconscious. If you're going in two directions all the time, your inside has to tell you, your heart tells you, hey, one of these is wrong. And so you're very doubtful. Another characteristic would be that they are fearful people. Naturally so. If you're going in two directions and both of them can't be right, it's bound to create inside of you an inner fear. Okay, let's move on now to the third type of person. The person with no discernible purpose. They remind me of the airline pilot who called back to his passengers and said, I've got good news and bad news for you. He said, the good news is, the bad news is, we're lost. The good news is, we are getting there fast. Now, a lot of people I know are going full blast, but they have no idea where they're going. Now, let's talk about the person with no purpose. And let me say this. I would rather say no conscious purpose. I believe most people have many subconscious purposes. Really, in reality, most people are many goaled, many purposed people, but they don't know it. Now, the person with no purpose is marked by laziness a lot of times, not always, but often by laziness, by unhappiness. They're usually very, very unhappy people. Remember we said last time that happiness was a result. And you see, these people are not going anywhere, they're not doing anything, and so they have become very, very unhappy people. Now, we could go ahead and give other characteristics. These people are inconsistent, empty. They usually feel empty, and they have a good reason to feel empty. They're not living for anything. You see, man's greatest needs is not to be filled up with food. And when a man doesn't have a reason or purpose for living, he is bound to feel empty. Bound to feel empty. Now, let me help you answer the questions to number two. The second question we asked. Second set of questions, rather, that were given to you. And if you are a single-purpose person, you would have had no trouble quickly answering that question. You could have written it down. Many people come to this question and they stop and they think and say, man, what should I write down here? Let me think. What is my purpose? Now, such a person is not a single-purposed person, because every person who has a single purpose knows exactly where they're going, and it's usually very simple, and they can write it down. They can write it down. Quickly. Now, if you had problem answering this question, you're either dual-purposed or you have no purpose at all. Now, let me deal with the questions where your greatest fear and your greatest love, because this will tell a lot about you. A person who is a single-purposed person, their greatest fear and their greatest love usually revolve around the same thing, that same purpose. You see, let's say that there's a mother whose greatest love in life is her children. Well, see, if she's a single-purpose person and she's living for her children, her greatest fear is going to revolve around her children, too. They're going to be related. A person's love and a person's fears are related. If they are a single-purposed person, they will have basically the same fears, or the fears will be related to the loves. Do you see that? Now, a dual-purposed person will probably have two answers here. Their fears will relate to one thing and their loves to another, and it's because they are not headed in one direction. They're not committed to one purpose. You see, a man whose greatest purpose in life, like the man in the Bible that I asked you to read about in your homework last week, who was laying up his bonds and all that sort of stuff, his greatest love was his possessions, and his greatest fear was that he could lose his possessions. He was a single-purpose man. I think he had the wrong purpose, but he was still a single-purposed person. Now, let me ask you, if you had to, at this juncture, pick one of these three answers, one, single purpose, two, dual or more, three, none or don't know, if you had to pick one of these three for yourself, I want to ask you something. At this juncture in your life, which one of these would you pick? Which one would characterize you? Now, I think it's very important before a man can go on, he has to be honest about where he is. The Apostle Paul could say, this one thing I do. Our Lord Jesus didn't have any question about what his goal in life was. No question at all about what his goal in life was. And both of these people, the Lord Jesus, the perfect man, and Paul, probably the greatest Christian that ever lived, both of these people were single-purposed people. They had a major goal in life, and they were pressing towards this goal with everything they had. Jesus Christ our Lord was truly successful. The Father kept saying to him, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I am well pleased with you. Now, our next lesson is going to consist of determining why God made us, why Christ saved us, so that we can commit ourselves to doing what God made us to do and what God saved us to do. Now, before the next lesson, I'd like to give you some scriptures to read. Would you write these down? Now, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to read these scriptures and put them together and see if you can get some inkling, just some inkling, of the purpose for which God made us. And what I'd like you to do is to read these scriptures and then put them all together and write out your own statement as to why you think God made us. Why did God make us? The first scripture is Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. The next set of scriptures are Matthew 3, 17, Matthew 3, 17, and 17, 5. John 4:34, John 5:19, and 30. Now, those are all one set of scriptures. The next scripture is Mark 12:28-30. The next set of scriptures are Colossians 1:10 and 2 Corinthians 5:9. 2 Corinthians 5:9. The next set of scriptures are Hebrews 12:14 and Revelations 2:4. And then the last scripture is Romans 8:28-30. Romans 8:28-30. These scriptures all give indications of why God made us. You know, of all the messages I have ever brought that have changed people's lives, as they have given the messages, the responses back to me, it's been this discovery of why God made them and a committal to it. I'd like to ask you as we close this program this. If you discovered God's purpose for you was different than your purpose in life, would you be willing to commit yourself to it? Secondly, if you're a dual or three-purpose person, would you be willing to do away with those other purposes and commit yourself to God's purpose for creating you and saving you? And fourthly, if you're a person that has existed up until now without any purpose, any discernible purpose, would you be willing to commit yourself to God's purpose? The well-done, good and faithful servant is going to come not to the person who served Christ down at the church, but the person who used their life to fulfill the purpose for which God created them. Let's pray together, shall we? Eternal God, make us aware of why you made us, and through the Holy Spirit and our Lord Jesus, help us to commit ourselves to this. Amen.